Hi, fellow travelers. Man, there is so much to talk about in this jam-packed 302nd episode of the RV Podcast. We're going to learn about a single pass for RVers that covers 97% of all the toll roads in America. We'll share the most important questions that you should ask when you buy a new RV and take possession of it. And we will share RV news of the week during these very challenging times.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this podcast is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and always using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, hi, fellow travelers, and welcome to episode 302 of the RV Podcast. And we have a lot of ground to cover this week. So I want to remind you right at the top that you can follow a text version of this podcast with all the links and the resources we share on our show notes page on the RV Lifestyle Travel blog at rvlifestyle.com/302. Just go there, rvlifestyle.com/302, and you'll find a full outline and a transcript of everything you're about to hear. First off, let me welcome back my lifelong traveling companion, the bride of my youth, and my co-host, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, let's put to rest a couple of questions. You weren't with us last week in the podcast, and you missed the last time we did an Ask Us Anything, and I have had emails, texts, phone calls. Does Jennifer have COVID?
No.
And the answer,
I don't.
The answer is no.
And this is a really bad time in history to have allergies.
Yep.
To have a cough.
And, well, it's just been a challenging month for us.
Oh, it's been horrible.
We went to, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Absolutely horrible.
We went to.
But hopefully it's going to get better now.
We went to Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. We shared that in one of our videos, for some regular checkups and a couple of things.
Because they had a clinic that was good with the hereditary thing that I have.
Yep.
And that's why I went.
And in the midst of it all, this cough started up. And
my blood pressure.
Her blood pressure.
I've never been on blood pressure medicine.
So they put her on blood. Can we tell them what happened the day after? 2 days after.
Three. Okay. 3 days after putting me on blood pressure medicine. My goal in life was to never be on blood pressure medicine. 3 days after being put on it, I passed out.
I mean, we didn't. We're not talking about getting woozy.
No. I landed on cement.
It was not
my head, my neck, my spine, my hip.
Oh, it was crazy.
And then what happens when you pass out on a Friday?
We went to rush hour traffic to go to the emergency room and rush hour traffic.
But I'm so, you can't complain. You're lucky that you live in a country where you can get health care.
So she's on blood pressure medicine for a little bit, but this cough has really been bugging her. We're seeing a pulmonologist, and we've had lots of tests, and including, because we had... We really thought we had it.
Because you thought, think I had it.
Well, I thought you had it. Well, I didn't ever
You and
feel
a
anything.
Daughter. I mean, I love my daughter. But you two are the creative journalists.
Well, you had all this. All the symptoms of COVID. All of them.
Right.
And they didn't think of Mayo. They didn't even suggest it. And they didn't even do it at the ER when we took you in for your head because you had the cough then. And you were short-winded. You had all these symptoms. Except a fever.
I have always had bad lungs.
And
that's why I exercise.
So we did get tested.
To work my lungs.
We did get tested. I got to tell everybody that because they're all going to say, get tested. And we don't have it. Nobody. And we've seen a million doctors, believe me, in the last month.
I've seen them all.
So, but one of the fascinating things that we learned in this process is something that the doctors at Mayo told us that they were.
That was a secret.
No. It wasn't really a secret. I'm not going to name which one.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, they just said, don't tell anybody. But they were telling us that they were seeing a blood pressure spike in problems, and they blame it on the COVID disruptions. Because Jennifer's, you know, she works out every day. You all know that. So she had to
get... Working out is not only good for your body, it's good for your brain.
But she learned...
And in Florida, I could not get the right workout, no matter how hard I tried, because I have allergies.
So that's two of the, what I'm going to talk about, the three S's that they've noticed that they blame on COVID. And you want to tell them what those three S's are?
Stress, salt, and lack of sleep.
All right, so stress... Let's face it, we had really a full schedule of business travel for our RV lifestyle work. We had book deadlines. We had a massive trip that we were going to take throughout the Northwest and the West Coast. We had big RV shows. All of that has been turned upside down and canceled. So all of that caused some stress. But then 24 hours a day of news...
Watching
being cooped up in a lockdown, which we were for, you know, 3 months.
I had bought my Gatorade. I had all the canned salty food. I was figuring out how Bo was going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get sick, but we did have Jennifer in particular had a lot of stress. And
because Jennifer doesn't handle stress as well as Michael.
Well, see, Michael thinks it's a news story. So I get all my adrenaline. And that's stress too. My adrenaline, that is stress. And, so anyway, all of that, the three S's, salt, stress, and not enough sleep.
And I don't like salty food. That's the danger of being on the road traveling when you pick up fast food because it's salty.
Yeah. And so
I just go, yuck, don't like salt.
So we think we've got that blood pressure thing settled with her, but we found that very interesting.
We're still working on it.
Yeah. You know, it takes a while to adjust to that.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. If I can live through it to figure it out.
And in the midst of all of this, so we got back 2 weeks ago today, as this podcast is being released, we bought our brand new RV, our Lisa Travel Vans Wonder RV. And we have been really taking our time setting up. We've not camped in it yet.
Nope.
We've done some modifications, had a couple of options, and have some more we want to do. We're slowly, I spent yesterday putting in our dash cam and some of our video camera systems that we'll use in our travels. But it's been kind of, for me, a little man cave respite to go out and work in it, except it's so hot.
It's been torture for me because I'm home after 4 months of being out of my nest. And the first thing I have to do is de-dust.
De-dust. That's another thing for your allergies. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just shut down.
Yep. So
my breathing.
And as you can hear, Jennifer is having, she can't talk a whole lot without coughing.
I can speak today. Yesterday, I couldn't speak. I haven't been speaking for weeks.
It's been so.
A ventriloquist.
I have been.
We went to a doctor and she was looking at us like, what is this? I ask her a question and he answers.
Because you can hear her in her voice when she starts to answer her voice. Now, I'm not saying my voice. I'm hoarse today from, I think, doing too much talking because I'm doing yours and mine. So anyway, we're taking our time with the RV. Travel plans are still up in the air as we're seeing renewed shutdowns and cancellations, hints of more travel restrictions coming out again as the COVID rates are going up. And so nobody knows what is going on. These are stressful and challenging times. And
it is incredibly hot and humid in Michigan.
Yeah,
you can't even
mid-90s.
Walk outside. It's just, you can't breathe.
I have to get up and get Bo to the dog park by sunrise. Yeah, and then it gets too hot. So amidst all that, we do have one positive thing to talk about. That is really good. We are really excited to report that today we finally have our official Pinterest account up and running. Now, I have not really done much with Pinterest, and Phyllis, who works on our RV lifestyle team and works social media, says, you guys got to go to Pinterest. Everybody's on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. It's in your demographic. It's huge. And so I followed her advice, and I am so glad I did. We have our official Pinterest account up and running. And for those of you who love Pinterest, and there are many, many of you, please follow us and share our posts about the RV lifestyle. You can find us, at Pinterest, just under the name RV Lifestyle Mike. So Pinterest.com, RV Lifestyle Mike. And we're starting to create Pinterest-ready images also on our blog articles. So when you pin from our blog site, RVLifestyle.com, the images are big and beautiful. So thank you for supporting a fun way for people to find us and see what we have to offer. It's Pinterest.com/RVLifestyleMike. And we'll put that link in the show notes, which are RVLifestyle.com/302. Remember, RVLifestyle.com/302 show notes. Well, I'm going to give your voice a rest. I won't have you have to do the news of the week.
Because it's rather late in the day that we're recording this. And I even make muffins today.
This is good.
I mean, I could move today because I have been sleeping 20 hours a day.
Yep. And we're getting everything all straightened out. So a lot of talk there. We shared more than we really would like to have shared about health and all that stuff. But bottom line is everything's okay.
So the bottom line is stress, salt, sleep.
Get rid of the stress. Get rid of the sleep.
No, don't get rid of sleep.
Get rid of the stress. Get rid of the salt and get lots of sleep. And stress, I want to go back to that. You know, we're big fans of Facebook. We use our Facebook RV Lifestyle group a lot. And you see it there. We have had a doozy of a time trying to get people to be civil. So many people get, and they just want to fight. Everybody is so tense.
Well, we've all been locked up. We've been scared.
Everything's been politicalized. I don't want to go politicized. I don't want to go and say, you know, how we feel about anything. Let's just enjoy RV Lifestyle, but stop. Give people the benefit of the doubt and be nice. Be nice.
It's been so hard for me because I am a news junkie.
You are. You've grown up with it.
Yeah. And I can't watch the news because my blood pressure goes up.
But, you know, that's part of it is because the news is so ridiculous on both sides.
I know.
Real news anymore.
I know bias. Yep. So I have a real rough time. So I'm trying to avoid knowing what's going on in the world.
Yeah. I can't.
I had to go off Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're on Facebook a little bit, aren't you?
Not much.
Well, that's good. Get rid of the stress.
I can't be there.
And you're not alone. That's what was amazing to me when we sat down and talked to some of these doctors. Say, oh, yeah, man, we're seeing this. Everybody's talking about it. That, you know, it's this lockdown and these restrictions and the fear and the uncertainty and all of that is having a really bad effect on so many people.
And you get mad.
Oh.
You get mad when people take away your freedoms. At least I do.
Yeah, and people are mad. You know, I mean, we want to be safe. Good grief.
Yeah, you want to be safe.
This is
nobody
something
wants
that
to
if
die
what we had,
sick.
If we thought what we had was COVID and it wasn't, man, I can't imagine how bad COVID. So, you know, we don't want anybody to have to get this. But in the process of handling it all, just be nice. And most of our people on our Facebook group are.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be like the principal in the schoolyard sometimes because they really get going at it. And it just be nice. And that's the whole motto, I think, of everything we do is to have people be nice.
Yeah. And you realize how we are older and how we were raised differently. I started thinking about life, going to school, where you started out the day with the Pledge of Allegiance and, you know, just...
Don't go there.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
A totally different... You feel like an elephant.
You do. You feel like your whole world is turned upside down and it's very, very trying times for everybody. And I don't want to dwell on it. I'm just saying that this is how it affected us. So...
Yeah.
So
I think a lot of people, I always used to get upset with people that didn't know what was going on.
Somebody's going to yell at us they're going to criticize us for talking about it.
Because
they'll believe different. I know. I won't let you see them. So
thank you.
I won't let you see them.
Okay.
It rolls off me. It used to make me just furious, but I don't get mad anymore. I focus on the nice stuff that everybody says. See, I'm smiling now.
Okay.
Well, dear, go rest your voice. Thank you for coming on because everybody was very worried about you.
I am so grateful I can speak.
Yes, so am I. So am I. And you're moving around, so.
Yes.
So thank you all. We appreciate it. So I am going to get us on now to the next thing, which is the news of the week.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
All right. You saw this one coming. It always happens, particularly when Yellowstone starts up every summer. A woman was gored by a bison at Yellowstone National Park last week. She got too close to the massive animal. Why? Why do you think? Okay, why do you think, my dear?
She wanted to take a selfie.
She was taking the selfie. The woman is from California. She was tossed 10 to 15 feet in the air. Isn't that ridiculous? 10 to 15 feet in the air.
Lucky she's alive.
Yes, she's very lucky she's alive. And she did make it, but just ridiculous. And when she stood up, she was attacked again. She was taking the picture near the Bridge Bay campground campsite. We've been there. And ended up being, had to be flown to a hospital for treatment. She was reportedly within 10 feet of the animal, causing it to feel threatened. And when a wild bison feels threatened, it will snort, paw the ground, bob its head, lift its tail, and then you better watch out. Rangers recommend you stay at least 25 feet away. I don't understand it. People, they're not Walt Disney creatures. They don't live
they all
like
think
that.
They're Walt Disney creatures, but they're big and they're
animals.
Wild.
They are. All right, the latest cancellation that has affected the RV lifestyle, and I can't begin to describe to you how devastating this is to RV dealers, RV manufacturers. Another big RV show. Last week we reported that the Hershey RV show, America's largest RV show, held every September for decades, canceled this year. Well, I speculated then, and sure enough, the California RV show is the latest casualty. California is a month later in October, and they announced that the show is canceled for this year. It's one of our favorites. We go to that every year. It attracts about 45,000 visitors. There's an excitement. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see what it's like. But the two big shows, California and Hershey, both canceled. And you know, those are the shows where all the manufacturers begin to show all their new technology and announce what they have coming up. The next big one is in January in Tampa, and that's still technically on the books, but who knows? Who knows? You don't think it's going to happen?
No.
You don't think it will?
No, because you have to commit, and the big guys that have a big commitment have to bring in all those rigs, all the money that's involved.
Oh my gosh,
If they have to close it at the last minute, you're out a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it's not, because those are really important shows for the motivation, for all the salespeople, and for all of the customers, the pent-up demand. But California, Hershey both closed. The big question now is, will Tampa go on? And let's hope it does. Let's see, we mentioned a woman gored in Yellowstone, a woman taking pictures at Grand Canyon. There we go again. Fell to her death. Last weekend. She's 59. She was off trail, and she was trying to take some pictures, and she got too close to the edge and fell 100 feet. That was right near Mather Point, one of the most popular areas of the trail. Two women, you know, one gored, very seriously injured in Yellowstone, one falling to her death in Grand Canyon. Selfies are not worth it. Learn Photoshop. You can put yourself in them, you know, but it's just crazy. And then we got a story about three people who were hospitalized with severe burns, including a 7-year-old, after their campfire exploded last Saturday night in Ontario, in Canada. Apparently a propane cylinder was buried in their campfire pit.
Oh, now, that's
who
terrible.
Would have done it? And it exploded. When the campfire was set, it caused severe injuries to those around it. They were camping near the town of Perth. But who would do such a thing? Probably too many. If we knew how many people are capable of that, we would never go anywhere, because that's just horrible.
Get a metal detector.
Let's see. On the open-close list this week, only New Mexico and New Hampshire State Park campgrounds have either restricted access to campsites or kept the facilities closed to out-of-state residents. That does not mean that things are normal. Several states like Maine, New Mexico, require those from out of state to quarantine for 14 days when they're crossing the border. Also in New Mexico, it's the law that everyone must wear a mask outside in a public space. And it's a law that apparently is being enforced in state parks outside. It's crazy. Okay, no political comments. Sorry. Also in the news, Big Bend National Park closed again because of the coronavirus, and more changes are happening daily. We can't stress it enough, but if you are about to go out, realize camping is not normal this year. Study after study shows that being outside and camping is one of the safest things you can do, but every state is setting its own rules and procedures. There are all sorts of crazy rumors out there. And as always, before heading out, we want to have you check with our friends at Campendium. They have just done a great job throughout this whole thing. Campendium is a great site for finding campsites, and we will put a link to that in the show notes. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/302, scroll down to the news of the week, and you'll find it there. This part of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping, new models being released. Love these Rad Power e-bikes. They're built for everything. They're priced for everyone. They have a whole series of different e-bike models. Whatever your rider wants and needs happen to be, they have an e-bike model that's made for you, whether it's a folding bike, if you don't have a lot of space to store it, whether you want a fat tired bike for sand and sandy trails and even snow, whether you want a mountain style bike, a beach cruiser type, they all can reach 20 miles an hour, zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal free with throttle or utilize different levels of pedal assist to give you just the amount of boost that you want. These things are perfect for those who want to get back into riding. They're great to take along on an RV trip. You can travel between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and you get surprisingly great exercise with a Rad Power bike, even though you have that throttle assist to help you out. Big thing about Rad Power bikes, they're priced less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is cut out. They deal directly with the consumer. And if you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off plus free shipping on all their bike models. Use the coupon code RV Lifestyle for an additional $75 off. Visit them, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this came in from a reader, and it's going to be a long answer. I warn you, I was going to make the whole podcast about this, but I've never been asked this, and here's the answer. He says, hey, Mike and Jennifer, do you have a list of questions or a checklist when one goes to take delivery of a new RV? We'll be picking up our new one in a couple of weeks. Thanks. And, you know, that is such a great question, and it's never come up before like that in the form of a list. And we've offered over the years, you know, some suggestions about the walkthrough. That's what dealers call it when they take you through the RV just before you drive off. But we've never really gone in detail. So I got that note and I sat down and I wrote a list up and of what I think are the key items to ask about and to have demonstrated on the lot. So we're going to share this. The first one for you is the night before the inspection. Go to the manufacturer's website or the dealer's inventory post on your unit. Usually they have a manual that you can get online. Now you'll get a hard copy of the manual when you buy the unit, but get as much information as you can the night or the day before and jot down areas that you're not clear about. Next, day of the delivery, you go to the dealer. It's important to know who's giving you that walkthrough. Is it the salesperson who sold it to you? Or just whoever was free on the lot that day. Now, we're sorry to say often, once a dealer gets your signature on the bottom line, the salesperson moves on, and some dealers have walkthrough guys who are at best generalists who know a little bit about all RVs, or worse, somebody who may know nothing about your RV model but was just drafted for the job because they didn't have anything else to do when you showed up. Now, you want to know about the guy giving you the tour. Do they use the model that you have? Have they ever been camping in it? Are they RVers even themselves? How familiar are they with your particular model? Don't let them tell you that all RVs work alike. They don't. Yours is unique. And if you're not comfortable with the person you get, stop the walkthrough right then. Say, listen, I'll complete the purchase when you have somebody here who has more expertise on my model. Call me when you're ready. I know that would be really hard to do. Dealers hate me for saying this, but you, though, will thank me in the long run. That's what counts. You want to get somebody who knows what they're talking about to show you how to run it. Now, the third piece of advice we have is, assuming you have a knowledgeable walkthrough guy, get out your cell phone and video record it. Have them show you not just tell you. After they do it, then you do it. They show you how something works, then you do it. Get it all on video. Take notes too. Don't worry about this taking a long time. You're spending a lot of money. They're charging you for that time. It may not show up in the bill. Sometimes they do actually charge it through, have a charge that says walkthrough, but you're paying for that. So take as much time as you need. Make sure you know. And the video will come in very handy down the line as you get to know your new RV. Lastly, I jotted down a whole bunch of key areas, and there are like 35 of them. So I'm going to go through them really quickly here, and I'll post this list in the show notes. You can get it. You can save it. You can send it to your friends, whatever. But we think you need to have at least cover all of these areas, have them explained and demonstrated. There's probably more questions, but these will give you the basic background to get out there and use your RV. And many of the questions will be detailed, as I said, in those thick manuals and instructions that come with the RV. Review that printed stuff when you can, and frequently go back to anything that is confusing to you at all. But go over these questions I'm going to give you right now at the walkthrough. So here they are. There's 35 of them. The first one, hot water heater. How does it turn on? What controls does it have? How should they be set? How long does it take hot water to come out? Number two, where do you fill the fresh water tank? Where do you and how do you drain the fresh water tank? That's question three. Four, where and how do you attach city water to your RV? Five, is there a water filter inside the RV built into the plumbing system? If so, how often should it be changed? Six, how do you winterize the plumbing system? Seven, how do you de-winterize the plumbing system? Now, if you're in a warm climate and never gets below freezing, you can skip six and seven, but most of us have to winterize. Number eight, how do you drain the black water tanks? Get out the hose. Make sure you actually understand. Have him show you how he gets it out, how they put it, where it goes. And then number nine is, how do you drain the gray water tanks? You always want to drain the black water first and then the gray, which kind of gets all that gunk out of there. Number 10, can you fill the fresh water tank from a jug? Sometimes you're maybe out, you're boondocking and you need, you know, some water. You've run low on water. Can you go buy a few jugs of water and can you fill it? There's usually a way you can siphon water in to the RV. Have them show you if that's possible. Number 11, how do you sanitize the water tanks, black and gray? Number 12, what should you use in the toilet to control odors? You know, there's a bunch of little chemicals that mask the odor. Sometimes they eliminate it, but what's the best product? Do they give you some when you leave? Or is that something you got to pick up? Question 13, how do you plug into shore power? Number 14, when you're on shore power, how should the battery switches and the inverter inside the RV be set? Number 15, how do you start the generator, if you have one? Number 16, is there an auto start feature when the house batteries get low that the generator will then come on and charge them? How does it work? Have them show you physically how to set it up. 17, how often do you have to exercise the generator? Usually a half hour a month minimum it has to be running. Others say an hour or 2 hours is even better. Generators are made to be used, so don't worry about that. But you do have to exercise them to get the water or the oil flowing through it all. Number 18, how do you check the oil level in the generator and what maintenance does it require? 19, do you have a slide? If you have a slide, how does it work? Do you put the emergency brake on first? Does it have to be on to open it up? Does the unit have to be level? How does it work? Number 20, what do you do if the slide sticks open? Is there a way to reverse that and to release it and be able to push it in? 21, if so, is there a lock to keep the slide from opening while driving? Most slides have a little lock that you can fasten on. Number 22, how do you maintain the slide? There's usually a rubber gasket around it. How do you treat that? Do you have to oil it? What do you have to do to keep it running smoothly? Told you there's a lot of questions. Number 23, what kind of a refrigerator do you have and what powers it? Some are one way, some are two way, three way, shore power, LP, generator, engine fuel. Does it automatically switch to whatever power is available? How does it work? How level does your unit have to be worked for the refrigerator to work properly? Number 24, how does your air conditioner work? How do you turn it on? Can you set a thermostat temperature? Have them show you this. 25, if you have a microwave convection oven, how is the convection oven different than the microwave? So many people know how to operate the microwave, but they don't know how to run the convection oven.
What are you looking at me for?
We've had one for 9 years, and I don't think we have ever run it, have we? Did we try once?
With Mary Jane, we made an entree once.
That was in her RV, though. Yeah, oh, in true. Mary Jane, Chef MJ. Yeah, we did one in her RV. We haven't done it in ours. But ask them right there. If they don't know how, they may not. They may have to pull open the manual, and that's okay. Have them show you how and look at the controls and go over it with somebody else. That will help you.
Hey, I'm waiting for you to get in touch with your cooking genes. Your father was like this gourmet cook.
Well, I have vowed that I'm going to figure out how to work this convection
all
oven
right.
on ours. So you find the meal, I'll figure out how to cook it. Question 26, if you have automatic levelers, what do you do if one of them or all of them refuse to retract? There's usually a way that you can offset that, and you might have to crawl underneath. What do you have to do? 27, do you have a surge protector in your RV's electrical system? Good quality RVs today all have one built in. Others, you have to buy one. But you have one that will protect it from bad shore power at the pedestal. 28, how does the bed work? Every bed is different. Is it a sofa that makes into a bed? Is it a Murphy bed? Is it two twins like ours that can make into a queen-size bed? If so, have it all demonstrated. Have the walkthrough person show you how it works and do it yourself. Number 29, where are the fuses located and the breakers in case you pop one? And you will. Number 30, how does the heater work? One of the things that you should know about the heater, we learned when we were camping, boondocking in Quartzsite this January.
The first time you turn it on, it's toxic.
It's got all this stuff on it that burns off. It stinks.
It was cold, and we turned that on, and the smoke detector's going off.
It was terrible. So you know, you might want to turn your heater on sometime when it's not that cold and you're not in it and let it burn all that off. 31. You've got almost every RV of varying quality have a rooftop fan on the inside and the ceiling mounted fan, rather. Not in the roof, but it pops up on the roof and then there's a ceiling fan. How do they work? Some of them will suck the air out and then they have another switch that'll bring air in. Have them show you that. Some of them have a rain sensor, meaning you can leave it up and if it starts to rain, it will stop and it will close. Number 32, how does the awning work? And what happens if it sticks open? What do you do then? Number 33, how does the television work? There's usually a switch you have to turn on for your antenna. There's also usually a little button that you have to put on if you're watching cable. How do you hook it up to cable? Is there pre-wiring on the roof already if you want to put in a satellite system? Where's the satellite? Most of them have a satellite connector in the little utility cabinet on the exterior of the vehicle as well. Have them show you where that goes in, how you do it, and then how you switch the TV to satellite. If you have multiple TVs, can you watch two different programs? Like one can watch a DVD and one can watch television. Have them show you that. Number 34, does your RV have an automatic sliding step? How and where do you lubricate it? What kind of lubricant do you get? How often? In our case, we think every 30 days it should be lubricated. And where is the switch that allows that step, automatic sliding step, to stay out when you're camped so that every time you go in and out and you're camped and it's just sitting in one spot, it's not retracting and going out again. There's a switch. All of them have a switch where you can turn it on. Where's that? And 35, finally, what do you do if you have a problem on the road? Most manufacturers have free road service. The dealership often offers a similar service. Make sure you have the number, it's posted somewhere in the RV, and that you know before you leave the lot what's covered and what isn't. Whew, that's a lot of questions. But they're all questions I think you need to have answered to understand and properly operate your new RV. And it's at the final walkthrough that you can best start and see and learn those things. And
you're going to be there a long time, and that poor person that has to do the walkthrough is going to go, yuck.
You're paying for that.
I know.
And some of them actually have a fee that they charge you. And, you know, that's a big part of it. So many, that's a pet peeve of mine. Many of these dealers just say, here you go, you know, turn this on. If you have any questions, call us. And, of course, they're busy. You don't want to have the questions when you're out in the road. You want to have at least know where to go to get the answers. A good dealer will take all the time you want. So there you go. That was a long, long question. And we'll make a separate post of this sometime as well. But you can find that right now on the show notes for the episode, rvlifestyle.com/302. Just scroll down to the question of the week and you will find it.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV on the road today. I think that was the very first option that we had to have when we got our new Leisure Travel Vans Wonder 2021 rear twin bed model. Battle-borne batteries. We've got two of them in ours, just as we had them in our previous version. We love Battle-borne. Their motto is get out there and stay out there. And with so many campgrounds so crowded, so many people are going off the grid, boondocking where they can have some elbow room, and it's so much closer to nature. And to do that, you need to have reliable power. And the most reliable power for an RV out there these days is lithium batteries. Whether you have a Class A, a Class C, a B van, a travel trailer, a cab over camper, don't worry. Battle-borne batteries are experts. They offer three different 12-volt lithium deep cycle models with solutions that will literally drop into any size space that you have. All their batteries are protected by a 10-year guarantee. They can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverter, charger, or solar controller. Jennifer and I just love our Battle-borne system in our RV. We rely on it for our boondocking adventures. And if you're interested in learning more, just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium. And when you start talking to those guys, say, hey, I read about you guys on the RV podcast. That will help us a great deal.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
All right, in this part of our RV podcast, the Interview of the Week, we're going to talk about one of the things that really irritates a lot of us, and that is when we're driving state to state in our RVs, all of these different toll systems that we have to go through and stop, and it's just very confusing. And if you're like me, you've probably said, can't we just get like one pass for all of them? Well, the answer now is yes, and we are going to talk with Don Brady. Don is a vice president of business development for an organization known as RV Toll Pass. And Don, welcome to the program. Glad to have you on.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's start with it. What does RV Toll Pass do? What's it designed to do? And tell us why this is a good addition for an RV.
Well, in a nutshell, RV Toll Pass is an ideal product for the RV community that includes people driving motorhomes as well as using travel trailers. It uses technology that was developed by our company, by TransCore, which is our parent company, who's a major player in the toll industry. We provide about 60% of the tolling hardware, infrastructure, and traffic management systems. But the National Pass Transponder was designed to work with any of the five different toll authorities across the country. So you could have one product, as you had mentioned, that would allow seamless use. And this has been approved by all of those. So what does RV Toll Pass do? Well, it allows the RVer to travel outside of their local area into other tolling regions using one transponder and having only one bill. So instead of having to sign up for individual accounts in other areas where they intend to use tolls, this is all consolidated into one bill. So it's convenient. It's adds to safety because there's no confusion about having to go through the cash lanes. You just use the electronic bypass lanes. It's cost effective because the electronic lanes are typically maybe 50% less expensive than if you go through and actually pay a toll at a toll booth. So the idea of a single transponder, single account, just seemed to be a natural for the RV market.
Now, where does it work? There are so many different toll roads across the U.S. Does this work on all of them, most of them, a few of them? Help us get a handle how useful sure. this is.
Well, people can go to our website, rvtollpass.com, and there's a very detailed description, including an image of the states that actually do tolling. Not every state does tolling, and there are consolidated tolling operations like EasyPass has 39 different agencies in it throughout the Northeast and into the Midwest. So what we say, and it's spelled out in detail, is that RV Toll Pass will work on 95 to 98% of all toll roads in the U.S. Now, there's some oddball ones. There's some in Louisiana that go down and serve the oil industry, and there's some other small private toll roads that are managed by small concerns or families even where you have to stop and pay. But basically, if you're going on a major toll road in the U.S. Or you're traveling cross country and want to use the toll roads, it'll work on literally every major toll road in the U.S.
So this is a one of those little rectangular shaped transponders, I think they call it, that mounts on the windshield.
That's correct.
And as you go in, usually it's a faster lane. You don't have to really stop on those electronic toll roads that, you know, you can go right through those lanes. It reads them some kind of a radio frequency. It reads the transponder, and you don't have to stop, which is really a good thing. And who bills you then for it? Because, you know, you're going to rack up a bunch of these charges on these roads. Do you get a monthly bill? How do you put a bunch of money in your account, and then when it gets low, do you add more? Walk us through that part of it.
Of course. That's a really good question. So our company, TransCore, designed and built the actual hardware, the device you described. It's about the size of a deck of cards. It just uses a hook and loop and attaches to your windshield. That device is read in the electronic bypass lanes, the open road tolling lanes. So you just go right through, it's read, and your account is billed automatically. And it's billed based on an axle count that's done automatically at the tolling lanes. So if you have a trailer, for instance, and you've dropped your trailer off the trailer park and you're driving around and using a toll road, you'll only get billed for the two axles on your tow vehicle and until you put the put this on. Now, it's the administrative side is handled by a organization called Best Pass out of Albany, New York. And Best Pass's primary business is providing tolling support services to the trucking industry across the country. So we partner with them. They use a lot of our hardware. We partnered with them to manage this whole account. So when you buy an RV toll pass, you actually register through Best Pass. You go to their website, you set up your account. It's set up very similar to any other toll account that you might set up individually with an agency. There's a $50 deposit. You put your credit card on file, and you also put your license plate on file, and then they manage the entire process. They're the one-stop shop for the entire process. Why do you put your license plate on file? There are some tolling authorities, for instance, in Washington State and in Colorado, where they use a video billing system where they take an image of your license plate and bill that way. Typically, that's more expensive because it requires extra processing if you're a foreign user. But Best Pass has agreements with all of them, so preferable rates are allowed there, in addition to, of course, where you're using the transponder and just go through a normal tolling process.
So you put you put some money in an account, and as you go through the tolls, it it draws from that account. And then when it's low, you just you're notified, and you I have an easy pass, so I'm familiar with that. Then you just put some more in.
It works the same. It works the same way. You have your credit card on file, so as you accrue tolls, Best Pass keeps track of all those and manages those. Like I said, there's a if your account draws down below your credit card limit, there's a $50 deposit that they can use to draw on. But typically, it just works with your credit card. And it works just like an Easy Pass. It's the same type of setup in terms of how you're billed. Once a month, you get a statement that shows all your tolling activity. Now, there is an additional charge. You have to buy the transponder.
Right. That's just what I was getting at next. Okay. So
the cost for the system is pretty straightforward. The transponder is $94.95. And you can go to our website and there's a link on there to Wesco Distributors who handle it. We're also going to be up on Amazon probably in the next couple of weeks. So you purchase a transponder, you get it, and then the instructions are there for you to go ahead and register with Best Pass. There is a monthly fee, an administrative fee, if you use RV Toll Pass. It's $14.99, and that allows for the consolidation, the billing, and all of that. But it's only in months where you incur tolls. So we designed this specifically for the RV community where people don't typically travel out of area year-round. They may be going on a vacation for a couple of months, or they may be snowbirds where they're out for half a year, maybe more. So you only get billed the $14.99 in months where you actually incur tolls. So that's a big feature of the product that has been designed specifically for the RV community.
All right, let me go through the pricing and make sure I understand it all. First thing, we put $50 to an account that they'll take for the actual tolls that we accrue as we go through.
Yes.
I pay just under $100 to get this transponder.
That's right.
All right, so now we're up to $150, and then $14.99 a month for every time, every month that it is used. So if you use if you use the toll booth once, you know, and say you're just going through Illinois and you ride a interstate that's got a toll lane, you pay the toll plus the $14.99. But if you go to five or six other roads that same month, it's you don't pay any more than that $14.99. And if I don't go anywhere in a toll road, I don't pay that $14.99.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So the process is you buy the transponder, then you go ahead and register, and then you use it. And it's important to remember, you have an Easy Pass. For driving locally, you already have an Easy Pass transponder, and that's what you would use. You wouldn't want to pay the $14.99 unless you were going to leave the Easy Pass area and travel into other regions, down the East Coast, Florida, Texas, California, Washington, whatever. So it's designed for out-of-area use. It's not designed for local use. I mean, you could use it locally, but why pay the extra $14.99?
Sure. And I suppose there's a chance if you had two transponders up there that you could get double billed maybe.
That's correct. Let's talk about that. Talk about that a little bit.
Can you turn off one of them? Say I'm going to go out west, and there's no Easy Pass out where I'm going, but there are lots of toll roads, and I don't want to necessarily take my Easy Pass out of that. What do I do then?
Well, what you do when you buy your RV toll pass, it comes in a little silver bag that's doesn't allow the electrons to escape or for it to be read. So you take off, if you have an Easy Pass, you remove your Easy Pass, put it in that bag, and put it in your glove box. And you replace your Easy Pass on the windshield with your RV toll pass. So you take care of the double billing possibilities by using only the RV toll pass when you go on the road and you're going and traveling multiple agencies outside of your particular tolling area. It might be SunPass. It might be down in Houston. It could be any of those. Now, there's two types of tags, so we have to keep this in mind. There's an Easy Pass tag, which is a hard case transponder. But down south, many of the tags are a sticker tag, and they're permanently attached to your windshield. So when you get your RV toll pass package, it comes with a little metal tag shield. It's a little aluminum plate that has instructions on it. It says if you are going to use your RV toll pass, and you're going to install it on your vehicle, then you have to put this plate over the existing sticker tag so that you don't get double billed. And that's in the instructions. So that's how we overcome that. Either you can remove a hard case tag, put it in the glove box, and use your RV toll pass. And when you're done traveling, you just replace your easy pass up there and you put the RV toll pass back in your glove box. Or you put the tag shield over a sticker tag, which you can't take off, and then you just install your RV toll pass and there's no double billing.
Good. Well, that makes sense. And that's pretty simple. What about people in Canada? There's a lot of toll roads in Canada. Can they use this there?
It's a very good question. There are only a few toll roads. The major toll road, of course, is a 407 electronic toll road in Toronto.
Yeah. I've been burned there. That's an expensive one. Yeah.
You bet. And here's the problem. By law in Canada, if you have a vehicle over 5,000 kilograms, which is what, 12,500 pounds, you have to have a special transponder in that vehicle. And it's orange in color, and it's mounted down in the lower left part of the windshield. This is by law. Therefore, RV toll pass technically will work in Canada. It could work in Canada, but legally it's impossible because almost every RV is going to be over 12,500 pounds. So sadly, doesn't work in Canada. However, if you live in Canada and you're going to travel to the U.S., you could use RV toll pass in the U.S. and register it. But as far as operating inside of Canada, no, it doesn't work. And I don't know what the future is for that, since it's a legal issue, not a technical issue. Maybe be some resolution, but we don't see it in the near term.
All right. This makes great sense for everybody who is traveling across the country through large regions. RV toll pass is the solution, and we will put a link in the show notes for this episode. But for those who want to write and go to it right as they're listening to this, it's RV toll pass, all one word, rvtollpass.com. And I'm looking forward to trying this out. I get so frustrated having to stop all the time. So
this will be nice. Good. And as an aside, it pretty much pays for itself in one trip by using the electronic tolling lanes rather than the cash lanes. And last but not least, in this age of COVID-19, you don't have to worry about having dirty cash in your hands or having interaction with a toll booth agent. You can just go right by safely and maintain that social distancing. So it has a lot of advantages that are quantitative and non-quantitative, and convenience is I think probably the watchword all the way around for it.
Don Brady has been our guest. RVtollpass.com is what we've been talking about. Don, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Enjoyed it.
All right. That's a pretty handy gadget. I think it'll go real well on our new RV. If you want to read a transcript of the interview with Don Brady and learn more about RV Toll Pass, links and the transcript are up on our show notes page, rvlifestyle.com/302. Hey, our podcast sponsor for the interview of the week is, of course, SunshineStateRVs.com. They've sponsored this segment for years, and we love talking about Sunshine State RVs because I think they have the largest selection of new and used small motor homes that you'll find anywhere in North America. They specialize in small motor homes, and they've got all the top brands, Winnebago Travato, Winnebago Era, Coachman, American Patriot, Fleetwood, IROC, and more. And they have a huge used inventory in stock, previously owned RVs ranging from the early 90s to the current year. Everything in between, from the most popular brands in small motorhomes, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, Coachman, Road Trek, and more. You will not find a wider selection of used RVs anywhere else. Sunshine State RVs, they're in sunny Gainesville, Florida, but you can shop online, as everybody seems to be doing in these strange days of the pandemic. Buying online, just go to sunshinestatervs.com. Nick and his crew will walk you through what they have, what you're interested in. They'll go out with their smartphones and do a video conference tour of the RV. You can arrange arrangements to handle it all online. They'll deliver it to your driveway even if you want, or fly down, pick it up, and have an adventure as you travel back. Check them out. We've been so pleased with our connection with these guys for many years now. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They want you happy. And before you go, they make sure that all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Check them out, sunshinestaterVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
It's no secret that Jennifer and I have enjoyed Harvest Hosts in our travels over the past few years. That's probably our favorite place to stay on the road, staying for free at wineries and farms and attractions. Easy, simple little membership fee, and you become a member of Harvest Host. And man, just so many places around North America to stay. Tom and Patty Burkett are Off the Beaten Path reports. Are also Harvest Host users, and they put together a report on some of their Harvest Host memories.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. We rarely spend our camping nights in a private campground, and few enough of them in a public campground, although we've been in some that we truly enjoy. The reasons vary, but frequently it boils down to cost. We frequent national parks and national forests where our superannuated status gets us a discount, and often on public lands for which there's no charge at all. One of the reasons developed campgrounds are expensive is that they have infrastructure to maintain: electric and water lines, shower buildings, waste systems. Since we need these only infrequently, we're loath to pay for them. Some outstanding natural feature will get us to pony up: a beach, a hot spring, great trails, or, in the heat of summer, a pool. Otherwise, we drift to something more rustic.
Over the past few years, we've really come to appreciate the offerings of Harvest Hosts. Many of these are in beautiful settings, and though the expectation is that you will buy things at the property, it seems quite reasonable to spend some money on wine or produce or a nice pair of alpaca socks and get a free place to park in the bargain. Often, too, we end up getting an inside look at the workings of one of these agricultural operations that's as interesting as going to bingo night in the resort campground clubhouse, maybe more so.
We pulled into one such on a recent trip through South Carolina. The family has been hosting campers for several years at their farm in the coastal hills. When we arrived, we were puzzled to find the parking area nothing more than a big dirt circle in the middle of the pine woods, occupied by a fifth-wheel camper and a 40-foot shipping container. We tucked our van up close to a tree with a treehouse and went to sleep. In the morning, we were woken by a rooster crowing just outside our window. I slipped on my shoes and stepped out. It was a bit more developed than had seemed the night before. Along one edge of the clearing was a garden, and a wide road lined with wire-fenced pens led off into the woods.
It turns out Marissa and her husband had recently sold their previous farm and brought their devoted forest-raised meat customers along to a new location where they were carving a new and larger farm out of the pine woods. Marissa pointed out the hog pens along the road and lamented the fact that since the chickens were currently roosting in the woods, she had no eggs to offer us. "It's damned hard work," she said, "balancing a child on one hip and trying to avoid both the dog and the baby goat bouncing around her feet. But we like it, and we like a challenge. We bought some delicious peppered bacon and some pork chops for less than we would have spent to stay in the private campground down the road. And Tom got his picture taken with the goat."
Farther south, on the outskirts of Jacksonville, we spent a couple of nights at an impressive organic garden enterprise. The gardens sell to local restaurants and at farm markets, so there wasn't any real shop at which to do our purchasing, at least at the season we were there. We stopped in at the aquaponics greenhouse and had a great tour from the volunteer working there. He explained the evolution of their system, which they now had tuned to an acceptable output. At one end was a large round tank full of tilapia. Looking inside, it was clear that they were not only healthy and very active, but also good-sized, ready for a planned harvest the following weekend. Waste from the fish was directed to the hydroponics beds, where the water was made clean and recycled back to the fish habitat. "Could we buy some of the greens?" we asked. "Oh, sure, what would you like? How about some of this romaine, and here's some kaas and microgreens that we grow for a restaurant in Jack's. And why don't you have some of these? They're new. Tell us what you think." Soon we had a grocery sack full of goodies.
Leaving on the second day, we met Tim, the founder. He told us about the current gardens and orchard and the plans to add more gardens on another orchard on adjacent land. When he retired from a desk job in IT, he swore to spend the rest of his life outdoors and set about developing a farm that could feed 1,000 people a day organically. He's well on his way. We've had great experiences at campgrounds and met interesting people there. But for our money, if you want a unique overnight experience, you won't beat the people you meet at Harvest Host locations. We've been to farms, wineries, fish shacks, burger joints, microbreweries, rafting operations, orchards, and maple sugaring houses, and not a one has disappointed. And the best thing? There are lots of them out here off the beaten path.
All right, Tom and Patty Burkett talking about our favorite place to stay, Harvest Host, and I think there's like 1,200 of them now across North America. We'll put a link in the show notes with the Off the Beaten Path report and some photos that the Burkett sent along for their report. We'll put those in the show notes as well. And if you follow the link that we give you for Harvest Host, you can, I think, save a bunch off the normal costs. So check that out. Harvest Host, thank you very much for making so many great spots available for us. But most importantly right now, thanks to the Burketts for sharing their memories. That's it for this week. Hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.